Not all the political manipulation of language is done by the big bad politicians. A lot of it comes from people who think of themselves as good and virtuous. The politically active. Activists. As opposed, I guess, to pacifists, who should not be confused with pacifists, who are, after all, quite often activists. Let's start with faith-based, which was chosen by right-wing holy people to replace the word religious in political contexts. In other words, they've conceded that religion has a bad name. I guess they figured people worry about religious fanatics, but no one's ever heard of a faith-based fanatic. And by the way, none of the Bush religious fanatics will admit this, but the destruction of the World Trade Center was a faith-based initiative. A fundamentalist Muslim faith-based initiative. Different faith, but hey, we're all about diversity here. The use of faith-based is just one more way the Bush administration found to bypass the Constitution. They knew Americans would never approve of government-promoted religious initiatives, but faith-based? Hey, what's the problem? The term faith-based is nothing more than an attempt to slip religion past you when you're not thinking, which is the way religion has always slipped past you. It deprives you of choice. Choice being another word the political speech manipulators find extremely useful. School choice, and the more sophisticated version, parental choice, are code phrases that disguise the right wing's plan to use government money to finance religious education. If you hear the word voucher, watch out for the religious right. Again, though, be alert for the more sophisticated term for vouchers, opportunity scholarships. It's impossible to mention the word choice without thinking of the language that has come out of the abortion wars. Back when those battles were first being joined, the religious fanatics realized that anti-abortion sounded negative and lacked emotional power, so they decided to call themselves pro-life. Pro-life not only made them appear virtuous, it had the additional advantage of suggesting their opponents were anti-life, and therefore pro-death. They also came up with a lovely variation designed to get you all warm inside, pro-family. Well, the left wing didn't want to be seen as either anti-life or pro-death, and they knew pro-abortion wasn't what they needed, so they decided on pro-choice. That completed the name game and gave the world the now classic struggle, pro-choice versus pro-life. The interesting part is that the words life and choice are not even opposites, but there they are, hanging out together, bigger than life. And by the way, during this period of name choosing, thanks to one more touch of left-wing magic, thousands of abortionists' offices were slowly and mysteriously turning into family planning clinics. And on the subject of those places, I think the left really ought to do something about this needlessly emotional phrase, back-alley abortions. We don't want to go back to the days of back-alley abortions. Please. It's over-descriptive. How many abortions ever took place in back alleys? Or, okay, in places where the entrance was through a back alley. Long before Roe versus Wade, when I was a young man, every abortion I ever paid for took place in an ordinary doctor's office in a medical building. We came in through the front door and took the elevator, the three of us. Of course, as we were leaving, the elevator carried a lighter load. Then there's the fetus unborn child argument. Even leaving aside personal feelings, the semantics of this alone are kind of fun to unravel. To my way of thinking, whatever it is, if it's unborn, it's not a child. A child has already been born. That's what makes it a child. A fetus is not a child because it hasn't been born yet. That's why it's called a fetus. You can call it an unborn fetus if you want. It's redundant. But you can't call it an unborn child because, not to belabor this, to be a child, it has to be born. Remember? The word unborn may sound wonderful to certain people, but it doesn't tell you anything. You could say a Volkswagen is unborn, but what would it mean? The fanatics have another name for fetuses. They call them the preborn. Now we're getting creative. If you accept preborn, I think you'd have to say that at the moment of birth, we go instantly from being preborn to being pre-dead. Makes sense, doesn't it? Technically, we're all pre-dead. Although, if you think about it even harder, the word pre-dead probably would best be reserved for describing stillborn babies, the post-born pre-dead. By the way, I think the reason conservatives want all these babies to be born is that they simply like the idea of birth. That's why so many of them have been born again. They can't get enough of it.